I'm very honored to be the city manager in Columbia, and I'm pleased to be able to present to you today the state of the city. You know, our Home Rule Charter requires an annual report from the manager to the city council about the progress, the priorities, and the programs that we're offering, the services we provide. We've come to call that the state of the city message, and so continue that that name. This year, for the first time, the state of the city is really a performance report to citizens and taxpayers. It's an accounting of our progress in achieving the strategic priorities the council established last September. So we have a strategic plan. We have decided what we want to focus on in the next 3 years. And the staff's job now, the challenge for us, is to find time in the whirlwind of the day-to-day to focus on these important goals. You may have heard of Stephen Covey's organization. They have an area of thought called the four disciplines of execution, and that's really what we've been focusing on as a staff, is how do you execute the plan you've made. So we don't want it to sit on the shelf, we don't want it to get dusty. We want to actually implement that strategic plan. So we've begun to refresh on that set of intellectual work, and you know, Covey stresses the importance of knowing what the goals are. Well, as you know, out in the lobby, you can look behind the reception desk. We've put them up in pretty big poster size so that everybody can see it, and we talk about it often as a staff. We know what our wildly important goals are. I wager if you asked any of the department directors, they can probably tell you all seven of the areas that we've set as goals, even though their primary job may only cover a few of them. So I'm going to refer to some of the details behind our seven strategic focus areas as we move on, and then I'll take questions afterward. So the four disciplines, our focus on the implementation side is really about focusing on what's important, what we can't afford not to do. We measure what really has an impact on reaching those goals, and that's what we've put in here today. We create a compelling scorecard, so we're going to use some images that we hope make our ability to communicate how we're doing fairly clear with the community. And then we really want to implement the sort of cadence of accountability, this continuous improvement on these major goals. So I'll explain what I mean by all that as we move forward. So this performance report, the state of the city, really is telling our story, warts and all. Not everything you see is going to be great. But I think that's important that we're just completely honest about the progress and the performance of the city, the community as well. So with that, we'll get a start here. Oh, right there. I thought of everything. So the number one thing, of course, the reason we're here is to provide service to the community, and we ought to provide them in a way the community wants us to and feels good about their satisfaction level with our service. So we measure this. We've measured it over time. We have taken a sort of a every other year approach to a survey, and that's where this data comes from. So the community's overall satisfaction with the quality of customer service 2003 was 75% said, hey, we're really satisfied or very satisfied. That dropped to 70, 5-point drop in 2005. It shot back up to 76 in 2007 and then fell 9 points in 2011. Think about how could that's sort of a volatile track. A couple things in 11, you might remember this survey came out right after Snowmageddon and the pothole season. So the two things that irritate us as human beings the most just wallop the city. And I believe that that's reflected here in terms of satisfaction with customer service. Now, at the end of the day, we can't know really with the survey what the precise reason is, so we have to do follow-up. This year, we're just now, our 2013 survey is on the streets. It's almost finished. I believe by June, when we have a retreat with council, we'll have the results, and I look forward to seeing what those are. But what we've done to try to improve this, to try to move the needle on customer service, first thing we did is we said, all right, customer service is the number one important thing we want our employees to provide. But you know the interesting thing? It's not on the evaluation anywhere for any job description. So the first thing we did was put it on every single employee's job evaluation. So to continue to be an employee at the city, you must be good at customer service. I meet with every new employee, and I stress that to them. It doesn't matter what business line you're in, whether you're in the police department or the sewer line of work that we do or public communication, customer service is the fundamental thing we owe the community. So that's a big improvement. I believe it will pay big dividends. We trained almost 1,300 city employees, almost everyone, in service with principles. So we're really showing everyone what we mean. What does good customer service mean? And of course, we define that in many ways, but fundamentally responsive, factual, honest, honorable service. And the other big initiative we're going to do moving forward is the contact center. It's an idea that has been tried around the country. Everywhere that's done it well has seen significant improvement in customer satisfaction. So we look forward to that. We're going to establish a one call to City Hall number where whatever question you have, whatever need you have, you can call one number, whoever answers, and a person will answer, not a machine. They'll be able to help you, and they will take ownership of what you are calling about and help you receive that. So I look very forward to that. Our second strategic priority is economic development. Really fundamentally becomes jobs and quality jobs. You know, we don't really focus our attention on the retail side. We, you know, really want to build up higher paying jobs than that. And so our focus has been in the last year, Ready has done a tremendous job through some CDBG funding we were able to bring into it. They've created a training program. So they partner with nonprofits, CMCA, and they provide training for what we have heard from our businesses is the hardest thing they're having trouble finding is IT talent. If you think about IBM coming to town, we've lost employees to IBM, and that's a good problem to have. We are okay with that. But we're struggling to find IT talent as well as many other businesses, including IBM. So we started a program to do something about it. We are, you know, if you want to learn how to be a web designer or a help desk tech or any other kind of IT work, well, we have a program to help you learn how to do that. We've got the computers, the classrooms, the teachers. You can come in and get certified. And the best thing is when you get your education finished, there's a job at the other end of that. We, you know, the businesses who've told us we are having trouble finding people, they are eagerly waiting for the graduates of that program. That's one of my favorite things we're doing. We're also, we have this incubator across the street in the Fifth and Walnut parking garage. I encourage you to go take a look at it, the League of Innovators. And they are really focused on startups. And we're going to very shortly propose the funding of a revolving loan fund in Ready, once again, to create some sort of very early investment cash. These aren't huge loans, but they are loans, not grants, for startups. If you have a great idea, we will help you test that idea, do some market analysis, make sure there is a demand for it. If there is, you will very likely be able to get funding from this revolving loan fund, and which will help you go get real investment, right? Real capital investment. So that's our real effort in the coming year. Another thing we did with economic development in the past year is invest $90 million in historic preservation. And if you think about that's 950 jobs. Now, those are temporary through construction, but it puts a lot of money into the local economy. So we're proud of that. With this chart, by the way, I'll just point out, you know, unemployment's our kind of knee-jerk number one measure of the economy. Are people working? And what we found is, you know, you can see the recession there. The blue bar is Colombia. We went from our sort of historic levels of unemployment, 4.5%, 5%, got almost to 6%, and now has come back down to our usual. So we're pleased to see that. It's one more indicator the economy is improving. Speaking of improving economy, financial health is one of our major concerns, of course, as an entity, as a steward of public money. We have to make sure that we are making good conservative decisions on that, and by conservative I mean careful, not any other philosophical meaning of that. So this chart really says a lot about the recession as well. The red line are expenditures, the sort of yellow line are revenues. And if you have a savings account, you can have this line. And luckily, due to decades of good conservative fiscal decision making, the city government does have a significant savings account. So we were able to do this for a few years, but you can't do it forever. Your savings account will run dry if you keep using it every month. So we have plotted a course out of that, and as you can see, those lines are starting to get closer together. I'm very pleased to tell you that in the next budget I deliver to council in about 2 months, those lines will meet. We will finally have a balanced budget, and by balanced I mean we will not use our savings account to get through the year. There are a couple of ways we've been doing that. One of the big successes is refinancing the city's debt. We saved almost $17 million in between 2011-2012 by refinancing debt. So that's like found cash. It's amazing. So I give a tremendous amount of credit to the finance department for their hard work on that. And we just make decisions every day as a management team to save money where we can. So, for example, last year we budgeted a deficit. This is the budget lines you're looking at. But we came in at the end of the year without that deficit. We were able to get through the year with a surplus. And so one of the things we have been talking about in the last few months is what to do with that surplus. Growth management is an area of great concern to this community, to the council. It's one of our wildly important goals, one of our strategic priorities. You'll notice in this chart the satisfaction with how the city's planning for growth is a question we've asked in surveys since 2003, and we will begin to ask every year moving forward as we do surveys every year from now on. It's an interesting chart. You can see that satisfaction was pretty high in 2003, and it fell significantly in 2005 and 2007, and then began to move back up in 2011. The neutral folks are about where they were in 2003, and the dissatisfied folks had a large increase in dissatisfaction. That's beginning to trail off as we satisfy more folks. So as we think about growth management, think for a minute about where we've come in the last 10 years. From 2001 to 2011, Columbia's population increased by 27%. University of Missouri enrollment went up by 43%. And Columbia added about 10 square miles to its boundaries. This is explosive growth in 10 years. When St. Louis newspaper refers to you as a boomtown, they're not wrong. We have been. And handling that growth is a real challenge. If you think about it, the city has to take in all that infrastructure. We have to push snow off those roads. We have to patch them when they crack, repave them when they get too old. We have to build sidewalks where they haven't been. So that infrastructure becomes a big expense, and managing that as we move forward is one of our major areas of focus. Some of the things we've done in our growth management, you know, as a result of our vision process, we have conducted a comprehensive plan that's nearly finished. That's a 3-year marathon, but it's almost done. and the product is looking very good. It's a tremendous amount of intellectual work. And it will guide our actions for 20 years as we grow. We're launching a total review of the city zoning regulations, and as boring as that sounds to the average person, it's critically important to how we grow. One of the things that that results in is this next little fact. We acquired more than 500 acres of new land for parks, and we set aside more than $1.5 million for parks, green belts, green space, and wildlife corridors. These sort of things really go a long way to improving the quality of life in Columbia. Speaking of which, the next area that council established as a strategic priority is health, safety, and well-being. If you think about those words, this is what we care about a lot in our lives, isn't it? And that is health, that's police, it's fire, and other programs we have about well-being. In our satisfaction with the quality of life, a major question we ask in every survey, we're pretty pleased. It's a great place to live. I think we all know that, especially when it's spring and not raining or snowing and the potholes are full. Now, that trailed off a little bit in 2011. Again, I believe that's a direct result of Snowmageddon and the resulting washboard streets with the potholes that we had. I believe that will improve back to its numbers in the next survey. That is my hope. One of the things that's also included in here is, you know, our citizens and our visitors continue to put high value on our arts, our cultural scene, the extensive park network, trail network, and our public safety. And while we're always concerned with crime rate, it has had an uptick last year. It is down this year. And in fact, we are at fairly historic lows for crime. We are still way below the way we were in the 90s. And that's a fascinating comment, I believe. The fact that the crime rate is lower today than it was in the 90s. We were a much smaller place in the 90s. Crime rate goes up with the size of the city normally. So we're doing something right. And the community has really done a lot of efforts to try to silence the violence, if I can steal that phrase. That group, led by many people, Lorenzo Lawson, one of them, Bishop Woods, another, is doing phenomenal work, just great work to help keep that crime rate low. On the health side, in 2012, our city county public health department was ranked, or the health of the county, I should say, was ranked sixth best in Missouri, which was up from the year before when we were ranked ninth. Last year, there weren't any fire-related fatalities. That says a lot, too. If you'll remember, we had some high-profile fires last year, and the fact that we were able to have no one die in those is amazing. I'm proud of that. That is always our goal. The other thing we've done in this, staff initiated over 2,000 code enforcement actions around the city to beautify, clean up the city. We provided seed money for Columbia Arts Foundation, so we got that started, and I'm proud to say their first fundraising event is coming up, Arts and Drafts. If you want to have a good time and celebrate the community and support the arts, highly recommend you go to that. We trained more than 100 certified tourism ambassadors. This is one of the most exciting programs the CVB is doing. I'm going to point out Tony St. Romain is wearing a pin of CTA. That's the proof that you've managed to pass the test and become a certified tourism ambassador, in our case, a Columbia tourism ambassador. These are, no-brainers when you talk about them, but they take a tremendous amount of effort to pull off. But imagine every person a visitor coming in contact with knows how to be a tourism ambassador, knows how to reach out to them, how to help them have a fantastic time in Columbia and come back. As an organization, as a community that relies so heavily on sales tax, I can tell you we like visitors and we like them to spend a lot of money while they're here. It lowers our tax rate. Every dollar they spend is a dollar we don't have to. So we, this program is tremendous, and we are excited by the initial success of it, and as we begin to train everyone in the hospitality industry. You know, the other thing about quality of life that's amazing, I just went to a lunch this week celebrating the volunteers who give so many hours to the city. And I'm not talking about the city council or the boards and commissions who are volunteers. I'm talking about the 5,000 other people who give time to the city government. That is remarkable. You do not see that in many other cities, and certainly not to that level. And that says a lot about who Columbians are. And I take great pride in that when I talk to other city managers around the country. They do not have that. So our quality of life is remarkable, and part of our ethic is to keep that going, to improve it, to make the city more beautiful than when we became stewards of it. Next is probably our biggest challenge. Infrastructure. You know, keeping pace with the demands for streets and sidewalks, power, water, sewers is a huge challenge. You know, this measurement, satisfaction with maintenance of major city streets, you can see the satisfaction sort of dropping in 11 and dissatisfaction increasing throughout that time. There's fewer people that are neutral about that. And, you know, we all ride on the streets. We know how bumpy they can be and what shape they're in. Unfortunately, they are also ridiculously expensive, and it takes quite a bit of effort to have a little impact on streets. So, you know, what do we do about that? Well, we've budgeted more than $17 million in annual utility infrastructure and major projects such as undergrounding electric lines, upgrading transmission lines, replacing the failing private common collector sewers in old neighborhoods, and improving wastewater treatment. Those have been the efforts we've been focused on the most recently. We've exceeded our voter-mandated goals for getting electricity from renewable energy sources, such as wind, landfill gas, waste wood, solar power. I think most folks are familiar with our efforts there. 8% of our power was renewable in 2012. Our goal for that year was 2%, so we have far exceeded it. Our current goal now is 5%, so we ratchet up our goal. So I'm proud to say we will meet that as well. We rebuilt about 10 miles of road, and we completed about 223 pavement patches over the last 2 years. And each year, we try to find some new money to put into repaving. My first budget 2 years ago, we found a little under $600,000 to add to it. We found about $200,000 last year, and I believe we will find about that again this year. Is it enough? Not by a long shot. We are trying to calculate the cycle time on how long it will take us to get through and repave every street in the city. That should be an easy calculation. How many miles are there and how many can you do in a year? Simple. Well, we added 100 miles to our network in the last 10 years. So that says a lot, right? The number doesn't stay constant. It grows every year. So we have to grow the spend on roads every year just to stay where we are. Well, if we're going to make any ground, we have to grow more than that. So it's been a real challenge to keep up with it. And I am happy to say we are at least finding some way to increase our investment in roads. We know this one question, roads, is the number one by far desire of our residents in terms of where they want us to spend any new money. So we've asked that question repeatedly in these surveys. It comes out on top every time. Roads is off the chart, and then second and third is public safety and jobs. Again, our survey's coming in shortly. We hope to see what the results are there. I'm going to guess roads won't have slipped from first place, but we will see. The other thing I really have to mention, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up stormwater. These are the pipes that move the rain from the street or the yard to the creek and the creeks, rivers. Unfortunately, in parts of town, those sewers are so old, they have very largely failed, and there is routine flooding in parts of the city. This is a problem that we must address moving forward. The difficulty with this, it's a very hard sell. They're invisible. You don't really see them until they fail completely and there's a hole that could swallow your car. Or when the rain comes, such as it did in this 2 weeks ago, we had a big rain. You know, we got an emergency call from a resident who said, hey, my yard is covered in water and it's rising. I'm afraid you're going to flood our whole neighborhood. Well, we raced out there, and sure enough, the storm pipe that we built to drain that when the neighborhood was built had collapsed. It was completely plugged. So we had to have an emergency project to cut the street out, dig down in, and replace the pipe. That's the amount of funding we have right now. That's the level of investment we can make, is basically all we can afford to do is chase the emergencies. There's no money to do any proactive work there. So that's a big challenge, and it's going to consume a lot of our energy in the coming years. Finally, workforce, our seventh strategic plan priority. You know, you can't have a great city government without fantastic employees. Now, my great blessing is we have great employees. Look at that turnover rate. There are many industries who would love to have a 10% rate of voluntary turnover. Now, we would like it to be lower. You know, we'd love it to be 9% or 8%, and we hope to get back to that. I will point out, just to address a couple things here. Well, it doesn't work on that. If you look at 2007 through 2010, that was the recession, right? Almost everyone that could have retired thought better of that during that period and really delayed those decisions. So would I have done. And so we aren't surprised by that dip. And I have to admit to you, we had it was nothing we did to get the voluntary turnover rate down in those eras. That really was an impact of the recession. So we are back up. And in fact, if folks retire at the rate that they should, from an actuarial point of view, that is going to go up more as the baby boom generation retires. So we are watching it closely, and we are doing what we can to make working for the city a great experience. So to that end, we are just now completing a study of pay and benefits to benchmark those against other cities, other utilities, to make sure we are paying the appropriate amount and also that our benefits are in line with our competition. So what lies ahead there? In the next 3 years, our goals included trying to get that back down to 9% on the turnover rate. We want to improve employee engagement and satisfaction and the employee's perception that we have a fair compensation system. Our current system does allow something called pay compression, where occasionally you'll find two people in the same job, and the person who started later for some reason is paid more. That's not a good situation to have. It doesn't seem fair to anyone, and we are going to change that through this study. That is one of the things we will do to help introduce some more fairness to our system. Finally, two budget comments. Wouldn't be a state of the city without some reference to the whole budget. So here we are. It's interesting to remind residents that 60% of the money that pays for city government really comes from the utility fees, building permits, application fees, fees for service. Taxes, property tax, sales tax, really are only 17% of the budget. That always shocks most people when they hear that, because we think of how much we hate paying taxes, you know. And then there are grants, transfers, intergovernmental, and miscellaneous. which are kind of explained there. And where do we spend that money? Well, 53% of it is in utilities, and I will tell you the vast amount of money there is spent on buying power to bring into the grid that we have. So most of the money we spend in utilities is for that. Of course, we spend a lot of money on transportation, and by that I mean the bus system, the airport, streets, sidewalks, the railroad, the parking utility, et cetera. Public safety is 10%. That's police, fire, municipal court. Parks and Rec comes next, then health, and then administration. Okay, with that, I want to just briefly say that I am very pleased by this shift in focus in the state of the city. This performance report really is aimed at telling the community what you got for your money last year. As we evolve into future reports, we'll be able to track our progress over time on this strategic plan. So to just a few last bullet points, the council created the strategic plan last September. We have been diligently building the infrastructure to implement that plan. We've made large progress across most of the seven areas, but it is a three-year plan. So, we expect to be about a third of the way through that plan by September. So when I say we're just getting started, I mean that we are just getting started on this journey that we have. The council will re-look at the strategic plan at its retreat coming up. They'll be able to confirm that these seven areas are where they want to keep our focus and that the specific projects underneath those are where they want to keep our focus. They can have an opportunity to add or subtract or reword as they like. So with that, thank you all, and I'll take questions.